Hi, I'm Jim. I am the content provider at theoptionprofessor.com and have a weekly market newsletter that we send out for everybody to receive free of charge, which I'll get into at the end of the broadcast. I cover everything that you can think about really across the board, from stocks to the bond market, international markets, U.S. dollar, gold, silver, copper, Bitcoin, soybeans, coffee, sugar, cocoa. So, you know, we got the whole nine yards here, and we're going to go over it here today. Just a quick background on myself. I'm a graduate of Boston College, went to school in UCLA as well. Been in the investment arena for many, many decades. I've educated thousands of people at my seminars nationwide. And, you know, basically we cover options, but we also do other stuff as well to give you a background on all the things that we can cover. As far as the stock market's concerned, that 3670 number, which is the high on the S&P, I think right now looms a very important number. Why? Because, again, we've come very far away from some of our moving averages. You know, the 200-day on the S&P still way down at 3150. And again, everybody is very much thinking next year is going to be a fabulous year. But you have to say to yourself, how much is being discounted already and how great is the year going to be? I think as we get into the end of the year, people are starting to think like that a little bit. We've seen things like the NASDAQ and the Qs having some trouble up here at some of the higher levels. They could either continue to do that or, again, if we are going to see some kind of a pullback, either by the end of this month or end of next month, then of course we could fill in some of that gap between where we are now. I think our opinion here, and I'm going to be sharing with you our opinions and our observations, so put that in perspective. But you know, our opinion here is that the jury is still out whether we're going to still see that correction. Some of the reasons are simple as this. We've got the VIX down in that 22 area. It has not been able to get under 20 and sustain under 20. So this is really the triple quadruple bottom on the VIX. We also notice that obviously the cases on the virus are going through the roof. Yes, we're getting good news on vaccine and therapeutics, but are we putting the cart before the horse? You know, is the stuff going to be around quick enough? Because right now, you know, you've got the huge amount of cases and huge amount of hospitalization. Now, the big bet is that hospitalizations are not going to turn into deaths, which obviously we all pray is the situation. But is that going to be the way it pans out? So if you see the fatality rates jumping significantly, you know, that's something that's not discounted in this market right now. So that's a risk. The other risk is obviously the unemployment. You know, we got tremendous unemployment still out there, and the claims jumped very high last week. So unemployment's still a big issue. And I don't know if you guys saw these bumper-to-bumper traffic in Texas looking for food, but that doesn't look good to me. So the bottom line is that there are headwinds ahead of us. And far as stimulus is concerned, you know, the longer Trump plays squatter's rights with the presidency and go around just trying to create a lot of stuff, I mean, pulling back all those facilities, Mnuchin pulling all that money back out of the Fed, closing down some of those facilities that would be there to buy in case the markets got rough, and then going after China with more tariffs or whatever the heck he's doing with all that. It sounds like he's going to be very disruptive. I don't know if the market has totally discounted that as well. So 3670 on the S&P, that's still the number up there. And numbers such as the 50-day moving average at 3427 and 3150 tell us that there is some room for volatility to hit. And the VIX being at this 22 area also tells us that as well. So I'm going to go around the horn here with these charts and give you a little bit of an idea. Now, I'll tell you something with the RSI. You can see that since we peaked back in 2018, this is a long-term graph. You know, you haven't seen a new high in the RSI for a long time. And we've made a lot of action up here. And that's called a divergence. And so that divergence could be problematic as well. Let's jerk this thing into a one-year deal so we can see a little bit shorter term and get an idea on the S&P. And again, it's above 50. So, you know, and it's above all these longer term averages. So, you know, it is a bullish situation and no one will deny that. The question is are we going to see some kind of a pullback to fill in the gap between the price and where these averages are? These averages, again, are in the 3470 area and we are up here. And if you look at the 6 month, you still got some movement down here at 34, where's the averages here? 3470. So this 3470 seems to be a pretty big number area. It comes in closer to the 50-day moving average, and the RSI right now still above 50. So again, it's still bullish. The question is are we going to see some kind of a pullback that the market has not prepared for either by the end of this month or next month? Now, one other thing that hit the tape is J.P. Morgan had a statement out that said that there's a possibility either by the end of this month or end of next month that you'll get a rebalancing on the 60-40 portfolio. What does that mean? What does that mean is is that there are managers who have a shall we say, a directive that the account is supposed to be 60% bonds, 40% stock, something like that, or 60% stock, 40% bonds, whatever. And when that gets out of line, like it did in March and April when the market tanked, and you saw the bond portfolio being worth way more than the stock portfolio, they had to come in and buy stock to rebalance that 60-40. And obviously that type of buying was very helpful to the market in March, April, and May, and June. Now, we're also looking here, they're saying $300 billion as much as could come out of stocks by the end of the month or the end of next month if, in fact, they rebalance again, because stocks are way up at these high prices, particularly the Russell and the transport. And the bond portfolio has obviously probably lost a little value because rates have actually risen. So with that dynamic, you'd have to sell stock and buy bonds to rebalance it out. So they're saying that there could be as much as $300 billion in that. And that sounds like a pretty good sized number. So that's something to consider. So on the risk side, we've got the virus picking up, and we don't know if the fatalities will pick up. We do know hospitalizations have. That's a risk. Stimulus looks like it's way off in the future with Trump still playing squatter's rights with the presidency. And these guys all are on their way out. So it's hard to believe that they're going to strike a big deal on that anytime soon. And then when they go to strike it, you know, that Republican Senate, what are they going to pass? $2 trillion? Probably not. So you got that going on with stimulus. Vaccine news is great, but certainly it's not going to be helping in the next 30 days that much, possibly. And that's a risk. The VIX, again, in this low 20 area, which has been the base a few times, is it going to get into the 20s? If it's going to get in the 20s and we blow out 36.70, then there's a whole bunch of upside to be had. And people are going to be caught on the wrong side. And the sideline cash is going to start coming in. And you don't know how high it would go if they can take out 36.70 and get the VIX under 20. But that hadn't happened. If it does happen, you got to react accordingly, I think. So anyway, those are some of the risk factors out there as we see it. And ergo, we definitely would be saying that you can't take the possibility of a surprise correction off the table just yet. I'm going to show you some different graphs here, and we're going to go around the horn into some of the different stocks and some of the different sectors that we're keeping an eye on as well. Okay, so let's start out here with the Qs and the NASDAQ. So we go up to the Qs here, and that 300 number on the Qs is definitely a big number, and you'll see that in a second here on this graph. Okay, so you can see this 300 number is a big deal. That 305 that it peaked out at, how far long ago was that? September. So September, we peaked on the Qs at 305. We haven't seen 305 since. We do have higher lows here. That's obviously very positive. And we have an ascending moving average here coming in at 285. So obviously, a lot of support at 285. You wouldn't want it closing under 285 or 280 if you're bullish. And closing above 295 and 300 would be saying that this RSI, which is hanging right now at 53, could start accelerating to the upside. So like I say, I think we're kind of our opinion is we're kind of on the ledge here with these markets. You know, they're kind of stuck in this range, 280, 300 on the Qs. And whichever way it breaks, and there is a gap here that could get filled down to 275, but whichever way it breaks, you know, it could really accelerate in that direction if it's combined with some news. So when you're smack dab in a trading range, sometimes it's very difficult to make a lot of moves with confidence. If you want to look at the real short term here, if you're a short term trader, the 5 day looks like it's turned a little bit sour here on the Qs. And if you look at the intraday here, maybe it's turning up a little bit after the drop. It's trying to turn up. If you're a day trader, it does look like it's trying to turn up on the day. And then if you pull it back to 1 month, again, it looks like it's lost some of its zoom on a 5 day and on a 1 month basis. But again, when you're in the middle of a trading range, it could easily, you know, go down here, then go back up here and then back down. So you can get chopped up on short-term trading if it's in a range that's just going to go bouncing back and forth. So that's what the Qs look like right now. Now let's look behind the curtain on the Qs and look at some of these big guys and see what they look like. Start out with Microsoft. And Microsoft, again, let's pull it back to a longer term, 5 year. And you can see as long as it can hold this number here, which is 198, you know, I think that's very constructive. I don't like the red line starting to turn over here. So you don't want it to start staying substantially under 211. And right now it's at 210. So like I say, it's kind of on the ledge. This thing starts breaking down under 205. 205 and then under 200, you know, and the red line, which is the short-term moving average, you know, the shorter term 12 moving average, you know, that would be something to be concerned about on a longer term basis. Let's bring it in a little bit to the 6 month. Again, losing some altitude here. How's the RSI doing? Yeah, this RSI is under 50, isn't it? Yeah, 45. So Microsoft, if it starts breaking under 205 and then 200, would obviously be rolling over a bit. You know, when you get up here to these extended numbers like 235, which is September's high, you can see the market on some of these have peaked out in September. We haven't seen anything higher than that since. Now, you know, when you get up here and the moving averages are way down here and you want to hedge, this is the neighborhood where you want to do your covered calls selling, okay? This is the neighborhood where you want to do your collars, where you sell the 235 call and buy the 230 or 225 put, and now you got a hedge at 225 that was paid for by the 235 call. Or you just want, hey, listen, all you're in it at, you know, down here and you've made $100 and you're going to take $10 and buy insurance on it up here and go out 6 or 9 months. So then if it's going to roll over, you got protection. At optionprofessor.com, we're obviously, that's a second language to us. If you have any questions on that kind of stuff, you know, you just email us optionprofessor@gmail.com and go, hey, listen, you know, I got something on the hook here. Should I get the net or should I just let it keep riding in the ocean? Well, if you keep riding it in the ocean, 235 turns into 200 and that's $35 down the toilet that you could have protected. So if you're not familiar about these hedging tactics, again, shoot us an email. We're more than happy to tell you how they work. Okay. So anyway, that's Microsoft. And let's take a look at the next guy, which is Apple. Apple had the big stampede into it, right? When they were going to split, stock went up to 137 and we haven't seen 137 lately. Actually, we've seen 115 now. Another one that looks like it's losing some altitude. RSI is under 50 and you're breaking underneath the averages. You break under 110 again and you'll get down to where I was thinking you could maybe buy it, which is in the 90 to 100 area. It hit 103. That so far has been a bargain. But, you know, if, like, hey, listen, if people don't go out and buy that I-12 as much as people think, and of course the valuation is not 20 to 1 PE, but it's up towards 30, it almost hit 40. So the PE ratios are very high on some of these things. What you got to remember about PE ratios is if interest rates change and the yields have risen, you've got to recalibrate your valuation models and factor in a higher interest rate. That is not helpful to tech. That is not helpful to the high-flying PE ratio valuations. That's not. Also, comparisons. These people, you know, some of these guys got a lot of action. You know, they bought the devices earlier this year because everybody's working and taking school at home. So the device business went through the roof. And so that helped them. Plus, interest rates were very low. So valuations helped them. But those two factors may be gone for a while. And that might be why this thing stalled out and why it's the potential of rolling over. I mean, the whole world long this stock. I saw some trimming out of Warren Buffett in his 13D that only goes through the end of September. And he certainly owns a ton of stock, but he did trim, and trim is not adding, right? So, you know, that's the story on Apple right there. You start getting back above 125, and then I think the jury and this RSI starts getting back above 50. Then, of course, 120, 125 start breaking out, you know, 122, 125. Then, of course, I might change my tune on it. Right now, I'd be a little cautious until I start seeing that. Christmas is coming up. You could get a good bang out of that. But again, China didn't buy those, didn't buy much iPhones last time they reported because they're waiting to see if this technology is worth what they say it's worth, 5G and the new phone. So China was, I think, down 29% iPhone sales. All right. So there you go with Apple. Let's go over here and take a look at Google, which is one of the better ones out of the big ones because their valuation is a little bit better and their numbers were kind of good. And they have a bunch of different ways to make money with the other companies that they own. But again, this as well, a big jump up from 1500 to 1800, a little bit better. And now it's been given some back. And this is on a 6 month graph. So you've got moving averages at 1700 and 1637. You've got a gap here that might get filled if the market rolls over. And the the shorter term moving average, the 12, is at 1356. So the longer we're under 1356, this thing is rolling over possibly. And that might give you, because when it rolls over like here, you go down. When it rolls over here, you get a pullback. Okay. So if this thing is rolling over, possibly a pullback is in the cards here. But your RSI is above 50. Again, it's one of the better looking ones out of all the big techs. What else you got here? Amazon going into the holiday season. Let's take a look here. And on a six-month graph, this is another one. It's losing a little bit of altitude. RSI is right around that 50 number at 45, starting to lose a little altitude. You start getting above 3,200, that would be very helpful. Get this RSI above 50, that would be helpful. Otherwise, if you break 3,000, a more significant drop could occur. You would think with the holiday coming up and the other stuff that they're working on, they're starting to get into pharmacy. And so that, you know, you would think that would be helpful as well. But for whatever reason, this thing, again, a lot of this stuff peaked out in September. I mean, that's obvious, right? You saw Microsoft peaked out in September. You got Amazon peaking out in September. And then you got a lower high and you got a lower high and then you got lower highs. So again, you take out 3,000 with the kind of stuff that's going on right now with these lower highs, you know, people could be surprised with Amazon. Again, you got to be flexible in the market. Close above 3,200. That's a different story. Okay. Next one on that is Facebook. Zuckerberg and Jack down there in Washington trying to explain why they don't put stuff on the internet. That doesn't sound true. Okay, so another one peaked out in September. What's the theme here? These big techs peaked out in September. Is that the theme? Sounds like a theme to me. And then you got a lower high here and you got a lower high here. So is this thing starting to turn negative? Looks like it is. I don't know. You know, Facebook has a lot of different ways to make money. They got an enormous amount of people who go online, and so their eyeballs are just in the billions. So you have to like it as far as that is concerned. It's just that some people are concerned maybe that regulation could be coming their way, and the wild, wild west with some of this stuff is going to get some sheriffs coming into town. And maybe this stock isn't priced to have sheriffs come into town where they actually look at all the stuff they put on the Facebook and they start seeing that. And of course, if they put a risk on it as far as liability risk, the lawsuits coming after this place could be enormous, right? So, and then Europe doesn't seem like they're so keen on some of these guys either. So, you know, there's some different risks coming into the ball game. All I know is that it peaked out in September and it hasn't seen 305 since. And it tried to get up there again and it failed. And then it tried to get up here again and failed. So right now, you know, with the RSI trading where under 50, this thing breaks under 260 and people are going to get a surprise for Christmas and it might not be the surprise they're looking for. So where would you be more constructive? Closing above 275 and 280 certainly would be helpful and getting this RSI back above 50. Right now, you could be holding on to a ticking time bomb if in fact the news is going to turn very sour. Doesn't seem like Zuckerberg does a great job when he talks in front of regulators. So, you know, that's probably a risk. Might be time for him to get a new front man, huh? Okay, so there you got a little bit of a deal there. What about Netflix? And again, there has been a rotation into value out of the growth. So you're seeing that's the story. You know, Russell small cap and the transports are up near their highs. And this stuff obviously has lost altitude. There is rotation out of this stuff into the other. Again, same story. September we peak and then down, down, down. So, you know, that seems to be the story and your RSI is right under 50. So again, you break under 470 or so, you know, there's nothing under here but white air. And if you can get back above 520, then I would be more interested in this thing because, you know, you can't go up to 560 or 580 until you get above 510 and 520. And momentum is a good thing. And it doesn't look like it has a whole bunch right now. Okay, let's turn around and start going banging through some of these sectors. We did talk about Christmas. So let's talk about some of these things that could be something to watch on to. How is some of these discount stores like Ross stores? You know, I was all over this thing in the 90 area or 80 area. And so it did pop out of that area. See, well, once it broke above here, this is where I was interested. Not so interested up here because there's a big gap there. If Christmas is disappointing, you're going to fill that gap. So again, this is where the buyout point was for us. And that's why we were touting it at that point, not touting it so much now. More like time to hedge. Sell the out of the money call, buy a put, and you protect your game. Okay, another one's TJ Maxx. TJ Maxx. Same story. We liked it on the breakout, and breakout was more like 55, 56, right? Boom. And then basically, you know, when the RSI got back above 50, which is right here, that was your signal above the red line. Get in here. And now when it's up here, you start doing your hedging because that's starting to look like the Eiffel Tower, right? A big high surrounded by a bunch of lower highs. Not a good thing. And again, it could be an indication that Christmas is going to disappoint. Sorry to be a Scrooge here, but you know, people are not looking like they're going to run to the malls here. And online buying seems to be the game for Amazon. Okay, and Walmart and Target. Let's look at those two. Target, you know, they had a low PE ratio, and then all of a sudden they revalued the company based on a higher PE because their digital business went through the roof. Now, what did I tell you? You know, if you're going to do Christmas shopping online, it seems like a Target, Amazon, and Walmart deal. So there you go. And that one looks a lot better than the other two that I just mentioned. Technically, not so overbought. Still overbought, you know, still way above the moving averages, right? But not, you know, not a bad thing to own right now. Would I add up here? You know, probably maybe it might pull back towards this 167 area. If there was an overall pullback in the markets, that would be a better time to maybe take a look. How about Walmart? And Walmart today is showing us what?
Flat.
And you can see. So, you know, the buy signal here comes in at 41.42. That's where you're supposed to be buying. Now it's a hold, right? And again, maybe the pharma deal with Amazon is going to kick into these people because, you know, Walmart has a pharmacy in their stuff. Maybe that pharmacy deal that Amazon's getting into might tick these guys a little bit. Okay, so there's your retail thing. But how about what people buy, you know, games, you know, ATVI. Is there anything going on with Activision and some of this other stuff? Let's see. Down today, but yeah, it doesn't look that great, really. But, you know, at least it's in the lower area. So if you close above 79 here, you know, then it might be going someplace. So keep an eye on it because the red line's here, green line's right there. You close above 79, that could be turning the clock. What's the RSI look like? Yeah, the RSI is just under a little bit at 42. So you start closing above 79 or 80, the RSI pops above 50, you might have a game here. So I'd keep an eye on this one. What about Take Two? TTWO. All right, Take Two. Yep, see, starting to go. Yep, so I'd keep an eye on Take Two. And as long as it stays above 165, what's your RSI doing here? Yeah, so RSI is above 50. So Take Two might be something to keep an eye on because it does look like it wants to possibly go higher. And they got games people like. What about Sony? Don't they have a PlayStation coming out? What's that story all about? Here comes Sony. Yeah, Sony's up a little bit. Yeah, there you go. So obviously they already front run it a little bit here. If you're following the charts as we do, the buy signal came in here at 78, which is a long way from where it is now at 90. The RSI still looks pretty good, but I don't like the way it has all this high point up here and then the RSI is lower. So that's not great news, but it certainly looks constructive as long as it can stay above 88. So if you want to keep it on a short leash, 88 looks like a number. And if it broke underneath that, that opens up all this stuff down here. That could mean that the PlayStation doesn't sell as much or their other businesses stink. They are in film and I don't know how that's doing. And they have other stuff going on. So bottom line, is that the PlayStation thing probably gave it its bang, and then basically it's having a hard time sustaining right now. But again, right now it's a hold, and again, starts taking out 92. Let's look at the longer graph. Okay, according to the longer graph, this thing is making new highs. So it's in rarefied air. If it really gets going here, that's good. But what's the RSI doing here during this big jump? Yeah, you see, you topped out here with the big RSI. You never made a new high. You're never making a new high up here. So you got to be a little careful up here. Short leash is anything under 88. What else is there as far as those guys are concerned? And then there, well, let's look at the semiconductors. Taiwan Semi's been doing great because Intel goofed up. And so Taiwan Semi, how's that looking? Yeah, you know, they're still getting market share. That looks a little bit ominous with the big high there at 93. And then you got gaps there. So again, that looks a little ominous if you're long here. You know, is this a terrible one to think about hedging on? What do you think the calls are going for up here? They got to be huge. So, you know, would you want to sell some calls and use that as a buyback point? Meaning you sell calls as long as it stays underneath 94. If it gets above 94, you buy back your call. You take a little bit of a loss. Maybe you roll it up to a higher one if you feel like it, or you just take a tiny loss because if you're in this thing from down here, you got plenty of juice. You got plenty of juice. But these calls have got to be enormous. I'd price those out for sure. Okay, how about NVIDIA? Okay, on NVIDIA, what's the word? You know, this thing is like bad-mouthing Santa Claus. It just keeps giving and giving and giving. So, obviously, it's a little bit overbought, and the RSI certainly is, you know, not fantastic, basis these levels, and there's a lot of real estate in here. So, if there's a correction in the market, this probably will be part of it. You're way at 423, and the thing hit 600. When you get 50% above the long-term averages, like, see how good it looked there? It came down. I'm sure the news was nothing but lovely right here. It just took out that high. Everyone was long. Buy, buy, buy. And all of a sudden, it drops what? $150, right? So this thing's up at 600. Everybody loves it. Double top. And of course, where could it go down to? Well, if it lost another 150, that would take you down to where? 450. Is that possible? It's possible. If things turn. It already lost what? You know, 50, 60 bucks anyway. So again, good company. Obviously, already had a big run. And like I say, it's having some trouble at the 600 mark. Gets back above 550. That might be another sign of a turning. You know, the home builders, because interest rates rose, I thought it was going to come down. We had an opinion of that. And let's see if that's true, because everyone is all over this sector as well, because it did so well. But again, like I say, when you get this far away from your moving averages, you know, it's time to do some hedging. Because again, everybody bought their houses, everybody got into real estate and da da da. So you had a big run up, right? But when you get this overbought, selling the 90, 95 calls for a big fat premium, and either just sell the premium and hold on conduit or take the premium and buy a put down here at 80, you know, it's not a bad thing to think about. Now, like I say, if it starts taking out this 87, you've got a 1, 2, and 3 formation. So there could be a major acceleration to the upside if you take this out. And if you get above 80, you know, it looks like that might be what it's trying to do. Where's your RSI? Yeah, RSI's come back down to 50. So again, 70 is your pullback low. You certainly don't want that taken out. And if you start taking out 80 with this red line coming back up and this green line certainly rising, you might have something there. So under 70, you got a problem. And above 80, you could be getting into another run. What about ITB? Yeah, same story. You had a big run up here. Moving averages are down there. You know a pullback's coming at some point. And again, when you have a high point here and the RSI is here and you make another big high, but the RSI doesn't make a new high, that's your tip. That's called a divergence. Okay, so anyway, same story here. If you can get back above 58, 59, you could make a run at this, and the RSI has pulled back just like it did on Lennar. So this is pretty much Lennar's brother here, and same story. Looks like it wants to go, possibly, but you can keep it on a short leash. You don't really want this thing under that low there, and certainly you don't want it underneath 52. Okay, turning towards some other sectors here. Yeah, let's see what the stay at home, because these things went way down and then they're coming back. Let's take a look at Zoom. Yeah, it's giving it up again today. Now, Zoom doesn't have that much history to it, but again, when you get up to 600 and the moving average is down at 300, you don't have to be from Harvard to figure out that it's overbought, right? So again, when you get up here and the 600 calls are going for $95, which means you're really selling it at 695, maybe not a bad time to sell some call, right? Now you've pulled back down to some support, right? You see the green line comes in at around 368 and these lows here. And if you can get back above the high number here, which is 466, that would be very constructive. Right now it's having a hard time at 450. But this is a highly valued company, and you'd have to imagine that matching the numbers for this year, next year, is not going to be easy. So their comps are going to be very tough next year because their growth was ridiculously enormous, and ridiculously enormous is very difficult to maintain. Teladoc is also pulling back here. And again, this one definitely has taken the bloom off the rose here, went up to 260. And now, you know, like I say, if it can get into this, you know, where are we here on the averages? Yeah, 195 to 206, right? So you got about a 10-point window there. If you can start closing back above 206, okay, maybe you could use this blue line or this low right here, which is around 190. Well, this low, maybe this low here. Well, this low here is way down at 180. At any rate, you want to have momentum. With this kind of thing, you want momentum, right? And right now, the momentum has broken a little bit, but it's come down to where it could stop. So you keep an eye on it here. You start taking out the 200 mark. That would be constructive. And more importantly, taking out 210 would be very constructive. So keep an eye on Teladoc, especially if it closes above 210. Let's see, what else do you have there? Peloton, huh? This is another one that obviously went through the roof and this and that. So, and they have a subscription business, so they have some ongoing revenue, which people like. Again, you pulled back from 140 down to about 95. Again, when you're up here and the averages are down there, you got to figure out a pullback. Right now, your line in the sand looks like it's 90. And if you want a shorter line in the sand, it looks like about 105. And if you close above 115, you'd have to think that that's a positive as well. Again, the story here is obviously enormous growth, and they have a subscription business, so they have ongoing repeating revenue, which people like. On a six-month basis, again, getting above that 115 area would be important so that you could get back above where the trends are. And there is a gap there that it might go up to fill, so that's another thing. And on a short-term basis, even 105 is not a bad support zone, 104, 105. And it looks like it could try to take a run up to 123 to fill that gap, possibly. Okay, let's turn towards some of the other areas that we have liked. We love Starbucks in the 70s because we knew that when they reopen, all those people that are hooked on caffeine are going to go somewhere, and they're going right back to Starbucks. So bottom line is that was a great buy in the 70s. And can you see that right here? This is going back 6 months. So here in the 70s, we get the buy signal, right? And then if you want to add, you could add here. And you want to add, you could add here. And right now it's up here, okay? So if the whole market has a pullback, maybe this thing gives you a place to buy closer to 90 to 92. And if it takes out 100, it's off to the races again. Let's look at a long-term graph and see how high the all-time high is. Well, we're very close to the all-time high. So there you go. Yeah, that's why when good companies pull back, this is, you know, that's why we like these moving averages, because buying them against the averages is not a bad deal. Another one that generally is a neighbor of them, where we go anyway, right next to Starbucks, Chipotle. Now, Chipotle is coming out with like digital stores. And this thing has been overbought for so long, it's crazy to even say overbought. Obviously, when we had the crash, that was the bargain of a lifetime so far. But up here, you know, is it a bargain of a lifetime? It could be. But, you know, it's hard to buy things when it's at $1,400 or $1,300 bucks, and you know the average is at $700. That's a rough racket, right? But people who have bought it have made money, so God bless them. But it wouldn't be the game I'd be interested in because, of again, it's so extended off its averages. How about something that might be closer to Earth, like McDonald's? Okay. Yep. Another one that is had its run. You know, good bargain down there when it dropped towards 175, 180. You'll see that. But again, this is another one that's having a little bit of a tough time here after going to that 230 area, having a hard time getting back on its feet. But, you know, it's hanging in there. Where's the RSI? Around 50? Yeah. So again, you start breaking above 220, get above this blue line, I'd be more interested in it at that point. You buy underneath here, you're hoping against hope a little bit. If you want to keep it on a short leash, certainly these lows here that come in around 215, you so, well, yeah, 213, 210. Well, certainly 210, right? So if you want to buy it and keep it on a short leash, that 210 area looks like it. Okay, now I'm going to start getting into some of the stuff that we have been kind of thinking is a good thing to do. Because when you have investments and you get paid a dividend, it means they're paying you money to watch the movie. And if the movie is lovely and you're getting paid, that's fabulous, right? But if the movie stinks and you're getting paid, at least you're getting paid to watch a lousy movie, right? And that's our feeling on dividends. And that's our feeling on value. So turning towards some of the value plays that we thought had value, first one would be energy. And these are all ETFs that we keep an eye on. There's many of them out there. This thing pays over 6% dividend. And ever since it got above the blue line, which is at 40, we have been thinking it's a good thing to own. And so obviously it's been a good thing to own. And this is energy, which means it's got Chevron and ConocoPhillips and all those kind of guys in it. I'm not going to go over each and every stock. Just look at these ETFs. That plenty. Over 6% dividend, and obviously the buy thing comes in here. Anything over 40, and then it's doing pretty good now. Could it pull back? Of course it could. But do I think that this thing has a longer term perspective? Might be decent. Well, there's your 5-year graph. Looks like it's turning a little bit, right? So RSI is above 50, and look where it come down from. So, you know, we think this is a good thing to own as an asset. Why? Because it pays a good dividend. And why? Because if you go look at the highway out there, they're still using gasoline, right? So lots of demand that could happen with a recovery, and these things are certainly discounted. Okay, next one up is the banks. And this pays a good dividend as well, this ETF. And this has all the big guys in it and many, many other ones. So you can go and look and do research on all this stuff and find out what their holdings are. But as you can see, once it got above 58, that was the time to take a shot at it here. Certainly when it got above 62, looking pretty good. And RSI is pretty good. And again, if we normalize, this is where the 52-week highs are. So we're still a long way to go to get back to the 52-week high. And there's a big gap there as well. But again, those are financials. Next one up is going to be high yielding dividends. So this pays well over 3%, I think even over 3.5% dividend right now. And basically, it is showing you that it gave the buy signal on this one right around 80, and it's now trading 88, and you're getting paid a good handsome dividend to hold on to these things. It's still well underneath its 52-week high, and so that's why money is rotating into this. And we have been on it for months, and people who have listened to us and thought this was a good idea are very happy because they have something that is a appreciating right now, and they have got something that's paying them very handsomely as a dividend. Next one up is Mega Cap Value, and I am going to try to shout out some of the stuff here real quick. But as you can see, you'll see in a second, buy signal came in at 74, trading 83, pays almost 3% area, so not too shabby. And these are mega caps, and you know, I'm trying to just give you a little bit of an idea of some of the stocks that are in this thing. Anybody could look them up. You just got to look at the holdings of the MGF, and you'll have them all for yourself. Just to give you an idea, let me just give a little bit of an idea. In the top 10 holdings in this, it includes things such as Berkshire Hathaway. So that's your Buffett deal, right? Johnson & Johnson, Procter & Gamble, JP Morgan, United Healthcare, Verizon, Disney, Pfizer, Walmart. You know the names, right? So, you know, this is some of the top 10 holdings in this. So, you know, not the worst companies in the world, and they pay good dividends, and it looks like their time is starting to come. And that's what we've been waiting for. Okay, next one up is going to be mid-cap value. You know, mid-cap value is another one that, you know, was way down. And again, got the buy signal here right around 100. Now it's that 115, pays over 2%, maybe 2.5% almost. And so you get paid a dividend while you're getting involved in it. Obviously, some of these are extended. So if we have a pullback, this would be on your Christmas list as far as something that you might want to take advantage of, because it looks like the trends have turned. And this is the 52-week high. If you notice, everything in the NASDAQ and in tech, way above their 52-week high by a mile. These haven't even gotten back to their 52-week high, and they pay good dividends. All right, next one is small cap, and this one's been going great lately. Small cap value, and there you go there. So you get the idea. These things have been going pretty good, and they pay good dividends, not bad. Let's switch gears a little bit and go over to the Russell, which hit a new 52-week high today. Oh, not Ruth's Steakhouse. Hang on here. Let's correct that. Russell 2000. I'm not sure. I think it's an all-time high, too. Let's go back and check it out. Yeah. Yep. Big day, because people are going into the small cap because they're, again, betting on the recovery, and they don't want to pay. You know, these things have PE ratios 14, 15, 16 in a lot of cases, not 2,500, not 40 to 1, not 100 to 1. You know what I mean? So, yeah, there you go. All-time high right there. And this, the month of November has been very good to this thing. In fact, the last couple of months have been very good. So the money has been definitely rotating into this stuff. And let me see if I can also show you the transports. And one way to find stocks is you take an index like the Russell, then you go find out what's the major holdings of it, and then you track those stocks. Because obviously, if the thing's going up like this, the major holdings are probably going nuts too. And that's how you can find a universe of stocks to play. Dow Jones Transports. Let's check it out. There you go. Okay, they're going great too, and they're up near their all-time high as well, as you can see. So again, transports include things like the railroads, Union Pacific, includes your UPS, your FedEx, and they're thinking that e-commerce is going to dominate the landscape this holiday. So these guys obviously have been making out like bandits with all this e-commerce, and you can see right there that if you look at the last 6 months, you can see they've been going through the roof, something we brought to your attention a long time ago. This thing gave us signals on the 1 year, as soon as it got pretty much above down here. So this thing has been rising all the way up. Yeah, it went down a little bit in October with a sharp drop, but that's just, once it gets back above the blue line, you got to get back in. Okay, so there you go. Now that high point there, a little bit ominous, but as long as we stay above where 11.8, 11.750, certainly 11.5, you should be okay. But all of them look like they could have a pullback. I mean, because here you go. I put these together this morning. Russell is at 1814, but the 200-day moving average is at 1452. So they're very extended. Transports are at 12,600 and change. The 200-day is down at 98.51. So, there is a possibility that if we get some kind of a problem with the pandemic and some other things with Trump leaving in a very volatile fashion and other factors, that, maybe pulling back to these breakout points is not off the charts, because the 200-day average at about 10,000. And if you notice, 10,000 is a breakout point here. And the RSI is certainly not confirming this big new high here. There's the high on the RSI up here, and we're not making any brand new highs. But it is above 50, and it is a bull market, so the surprises can clearly be to the upside. Shorting it up here wouldn't make a whole lot of sense, because you're going against a lot of traffic. But having some powder dry in case we get some kind of a surprise at the end of this month or in the end of next month is not a terrible idea. And if you have powder dry and it starts breaking above 12,750 or whatever, you can use that in the momentum play if you wanted to. But if it drops and you have no dry powder, then you can't do anything about it. Let me see. Yeah, let me show you a couple other ones here, because this is an interesting one that we've been pecking around with in the low 20s. And this is Wells Fargo. Low 20s were very, we're pecking around here at 20, 22, 23. We think there could be something here. It's very cheap. And, I'll show you a stock in a second why we like to do it this way. I don't think Wells Fargo is going out of business. And it went from 56 down to 20. And I think they've got a lot of customers. I think they got a lot of branches and a lot of assets. And if the things recover, they'll probably be able to figure out how to make money. And certainly getting in here in between 20 and 22 or 23 and then getting your stop loss about under 20 is not a terrible looking thing. Right now it's paying off handsomely. Okay. To give you an idea on why we like going in front of when things get cheap, Freeport Mac Moran is a perfect example. We very much into this thing in the single digits. And the idea was, hey, Freeport Mac Moran is not going to go out of business when they own all this silver, gold, and copper. So when you get it down here at 5, 6, and 7, and it starts jumping above its moving averages at 8, it's called you're buying it. And you buy, when you buy something like Freeport Mac Moran, which we definitely were focused on, it's like buying an option. You're paying $7 or $8, and the option never expires until they go out of business, because you own the stock until they go out of business, right? So the bottom line is when you get stuff like this, and let's pull it back a notch to see where this thing used to be to give you an idea how cheap it was when it's single digits. Go back 20 years. Look at this thing. It used to be $60, $65, okay? And you know, copper's used in all kinds of construction and infrastructure, right? So there's a lot of potential here. And then they also have gold and silver, which have done pretty well. So this stuff was, you know, even on a long-term graph, the buy signal was 10. You're up at 21. Could have pulled back? Sure. But does this look like something that's going someplace? Looks like something that's going someplace. And is there real estate above if it got moving? Looks like there could be. So again, that's a classic example of why we like to look at some things. Big companies, very discounted prices, and therefore you're getting a pretty darn good deal. And again, if it doesn't work out, all you can lose is the price of the stock, and it doesn't ever expire until when the company goes out of business. So that's why we like to call it, it's like buying a long-term option, because it's a single-digit deal. Another one that is in the generic drug area, Teva. Now, I don't know if it's going to be able to make a run or not, but it's interesting because it used to be a lot higher, and we thought at the $8 mark, it was a bargain. And so far, that looks like it could be, right? But it went down to 5 here, too. If this thing gets above 15, you got a deal here where you got, you know, lower, you know, higher lows, and you take out this 15 neighborhood, and there's a lot of real estate there. So I would keep an eye on Teva. And of course, it would be nice if the RSI got above 50. But you know, when we were in single digits on Freeport Mac Moran, the RSI wasn't under 50. So, you know, again, you're getting to a deal where you put up a single digit and you own this company until it either makes its run or until they go out of business and you lose the stock price. So something to keep an eye on. And some people think generics are going to be a big part of these the healthcare deal with Biden. Could be a big deal. That's what they say. So if they're true, you're getting into something with pretty low prices. And if they're not true, the most you could lose is the $9, right? So that gives you a little couple of ideas as far as that's concerned. Let's look at GM. Yeah, this thing gave a good buy signal. Let's look at the 6 month down in the 30s. Buy signal in the 30s. Yep. You see, once you got above 30, that was the time to get in. Now you're up here. Okay. So again, could pull back and do all that. But again, clearly there was a move to the upside. Now, what about this NIO, electric car out of China? Yeah, again, buy signal at 20, test the blue. You could buy it against that red if you wanted to all the way up. Buy it. Right now, you don't want it under what? 46. So if it pulled back towards 46 and it holds, that might be the next place to take a look at it. If it doesn't hold, but again, it's not our cup of tea. When you're at 54 and the moving average is down here, you know, that's not our cup of tea. And let's talk about international real quick before I got to sign off. The one that we focus on to make a one-stop shop is VWIGX. And this thing's got a little bit of an emerging market. It's got some Europe. It's got some Asia. It's got some U.S. So it got diversification. And this thing has been a real winner. It's international growth. And you can see it hasn't been around forever. So it's fairly new. But to us, it seems like a pretty good deal. And there you go. This thing gave a buy signal at $28. And we're just riding this thing. And, you know, this thing's top 10 holdings include like Baba and Tencent and, you know, a lot of different European, I think Roche Holdings might be in it. I'm not sure. You can look up again on all this stuff that I mentioned. You want to do more research, of course, and you want to look into it further. You go look at their top 10 holdings. You know what they got. Bottom line is I know what they got here is momentum, and it is taking advantage of all the different stuff out there because there's so many different ways to play it. You can go with EEM if you want to get the emerging markets, and you could try to go Europe if you want. One last thing real quick. If I can get two things in real quick. I don't know how much time I got, but two more is interest rates in the dollar, if I can do them. And of course, we haven't even gotten into the gold, silver, copper, and the other stuff that we're talking about, that we talk about every week in the newsletter update. But anyway, yeah, this thing here, we thought TLT was a bargain here at 155, and we think it could go up here and fill that gap at 170. If the stock market rolls over, this thing will go. If it doesn't roll over and the stock market takes off, then this thing is going right back in the soup. But we thought down here was a good time to take a shot. And so far, so good. Last thing on the U.S. dollar. dollar, because, you know, the U.S. dollar is a big, big, important thing. Dollar index. Where are you? Dollar index. Ah, dollar index. Let's get this up, because this one really told you a lot about, I didn't want that. Ooh. Yeah, this thing told you a lot about why the stock market and gold and everything was going to go up. And it also told you why it has stalled out in some cases, because the U.S. dollar went way down. And then, of course, it went way up. So let's just show you what the story is on the U.S. dollar right now, because I think it might be the key to what goes on next. Yeah. Okay. So you see up here, we top out at 100, 104. Once you got the sell signal at 100 on the U.S. dollar, that was in May and June. And that's when the gold, silver stocks really, and the euro really took off. Why? Because the dollar dropped. Now, the dollar bottomed in September. Do you notice topped in September? The NASDAQ, right? And also gold and silver, right? So bottom line is that's why that's important. Now, you see it's having trouble getting underneath 92. Here's why everyone is negative on the dollar, right? Boom. But here's why you shouldn't be, possibly, because our yield advantage has come back. What does that mean? That means our yields are now up towards 1% on the 10-year, and everyone else around in Europe and Japan is negative yielding. That is very helpful to the dollar. The other thing is people think when the Fed prints a lot of money to stimulate, it causes inflation. In fact, it has not caused inflation since the 70s, and that only happened because baby boomers were coming to work. So in the 80s and the 90s and the 2000s, it never caused inflation. And that's why gold jumped up in 2012 on this hope, and then it tanked. And now it just recently jumped up, and it has not made new highs in months. So the bottom line is be very careful with the U.S. dollar, because if it can hold this 90, 92 area, and if it ever takes out 94, you're going to find a lot of positioning on the wrong side of the dollar. And they're going to realize after, if it does run up, now they're going to realize that our yield advantage is back. The Fed doesn't cause inflation with their printing. They just cause growth. And that's very good for stocks. So you can have a stronger dollar and a good stock market. But I don't know that if the dollar picks up a lot of steam and the inflation numbers don't come in, that you're going to be able to keep these commodity prices and things like gold and silver.